Morning, Lara.
Morning.
Lovely to see you. It's a delight to interview Lara this morning. Many of you know Lara. She's been part of MCF for a long time, but she's got quite an incredible story, and I would say that for many of us has been an absolute inspiration in how she's handled some of the stuff that she's handled. So it really is a privilege to have you here with us. Let's give her a round of applause just to make her feel welcome. I'm very mindful of the time, so we're going to whiz through. So could you share a little of your journey, growing up in Nigeria, moving to the UK, and eventually settling in Sheffield? How and when did you come to faith?
I'm so nervous. Can everyone hear me? Buddy, so I don't know where to start. I'm looking for my notes, so I don't waste time. So I grew up in a, well, first my name is Omolara, but I cut it short as Lara so that people can pronounce it. And Lara means a child is a kin, K-I-N, or a child is a family, or a child is companion. I am a mother of three, and I always say I'm not a widow, I'm a wife of Jesus, because he said he is the husband of the widows and father to the fatherless.
Yes.
And growing up in Nigeria, I grew up in a very large family. I think I stopped counting as of literally up to the point that my dad passed away, because my younger child is older than my last sibling is older than my younger child. Yeah. But we're like about 13th of us. But I, as a child, I would live from one person to another. I still live with my grandparents, whom I loved very much. And I wasn't sure why we were living with them. And then my auntie came, my mom's sister came to collect me, that she wanted me to live with her. And then our mom, my step grandma, took me. So it was just like from one house to another. And eventually, through my auntie, I came here. But there was no, I wasn't living with any family member that I know. So it's just from one person to another, to another, to another. But I had the opportunity of attending school. I was attending school on and off in Nigeria. I had the opportunity of attending school here. Went to college, and fast forward, I met Yomi. I will put it there, my husband, because of time. And then I think my growing up was similar to Yomi. And fast forward, we had family, and he doesn't like moving up and down. So for anyone that does not know Yomi, it's my husband, fast forward, so we decided, I just felt that we needed to move out of London, because we lived at least my 40, 15 years in London, so I was just like, I feel like we need to move out of London. You know, he had his family there, but it was like family are there, but they're not there. So it's just, everything has just been myself, my husband, and my children. And the London also very expensive. So we're thinking of what to do. He didn't want to move, but eventually I believe it's the Holy Spirit, because whenever people ask us, how did you move to London, Sheffield? Why did you decide to move to Sheffield? I always tell them, it's not me, it is the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we don't plan. The Bible says that a man make his plan, but God directs their path. So even though we were just moving because, okay, maybe financially things were difficult, and then I wanted my own little family because of challenges time that we've been. So we just want that, our own family kind of thing. But I believe God has seen what would happen ahead. And I always tell people that if my husband was to pass away or died in London, the story would have been completely different. Going back to what preaching that Jonathan did last time, you know, saying that the Holy Spirit, sometimes we think that we have to feel fire or wind or something, just that little nudge that you feel something in your heart. And you can choose to take it, run with it, or you can choose to just say, no, I'm not running with it. But either way, there will be a result at the end. But just know that either way, God will eventually push you back into his plan if you're willing. I think I'll stop there.
Okay, that's fine. So we know that you've walked through a difficult season, and we've had it's been a real honour to walk with you through that, and because you've been part of MCF, obviously, at the time that you lost Yomi. When was it, do you think, that you actually gave your life to Jesus and it became something that was, because something that was your decision for yourself?
Because I've always grown up in the family, you know, Christian background, so my life has always been around Jesus. I had, because I also lived with different people, I've had Christians that believe that they don't have to go to church because they have their own relationship with God. But for the fact that when I came to the UK, we don't have time to share that, but at least I lost contact with my parents, with my family for about 14 years. And I didn't see my mom until when she came last year, which was 25 years that it took me to see my mom physically. But I've always go back. I always said I'm not much educated, but at the same time, I'm not stupid. So whenever I think of my family, I think of one thing. I'm going to keep my accent so that they can understand me when I'm speaking, when I reach out to them. And also, I'm going to try my best to make sure that I stay with the background that I know. And like you just shared with those ladies, they will wake up and pray. So that's what I've learned to grow up with. In terms of giving my life to Christ, it was actually when we started attending this church that when we came yet again, I was having this eagerness to learn more about Jesus. I just wanted to know about Jesus. We found one church in town, and they were doing praise and worship. I looked at Yomi, I was like, this is not our church. So, but one day I was walking past, you know, I think I've shared that story before, but I have to say, when we walked into MCF, it was all about Jesus. People were friendly. It took time for me to actually begin to, this church has also taught me to trust people, because in the past, growing up, people are nice because of what they could get out of us. So we're only used to giving out. We're not using to taking. And yeah, so through this church and another church that I followed online, they were just preaching about Jesus at the time. So gradually, we began to have that personal relationship with ourselves. And it's about willingness as well, that, okay, the Holy Spirit is saying this. I might plan to study Jeremiah today, but I open my Bible and I'm saying Matthew. What is God telling me in Matthew? So I think in 2019, we did decide that, well, I said, I'm going to give my life to Jesus. And I said, Yomi, are you giving your life to Jesus? Because he actually came from the Catholic back, and most of the people that he lived with, they were Christian, but they were not really attending church, so there was no relationship with Christ there. So he said, yeah, why not? Why, yeah, not? That he's decided, yeah, as well, that I want to. So I'm so grateful to God that we both gave our life to Christ properly, but that's in 2019.
So as part of MCF, you came here, yeah, started being part of this family, yes, and this is where you were like, both, right, this is where we want to give our lives to Jesus. Yeah, that's a privilege,
that's
isn't
right.
it?
Yes.
To be the congregation, the group of people in which that happened. As you look back on your journey so far, what encouragement would you share with others who may be facing their own hard seasons? Because I know that you have faced some really tough stuff, not just with the passing of Yomi and everything, but all through the last few years trying to navigate a new season with young children and everything else. What encouragement would you share with people going through tough times now?
Number one for me is never, you know, God is good. God, in all situation, God is good. And he said that he will turn, you know, every situation that we go through, we turn it around for our good. As I said, growing up, I've been through a very challenging times, to the point that in my 20s, I can't remember what age I came, but it's not until my 20th I realized I didn't have a stay in this country. So it's like one problem after the other. I've been kicked out, homeless, but thank God I've never slept outside. I always have someone that would step in. God is always there. Mm. And I just quickly want to share my immigration issue. I had a time that I said to Yome, listen, if I've literally received a letter and a ticket to return back to Nigeria, and I said to Yome that if God wants me to go back, I don't have a problem with that, but we need to sort out our first child, what's going to happen, because I'm not leaving him. And I remember praying to God. I literally had nothing. But then a friend of mine, through prayer, she said, your word is Psalm 46, verse 10, which is, be still and know that I am God. But anyone that knows me very well, I'm not still. If you invite me to your house, I'm like literally itchy because I don't want to sit still and do anything. But to me, what that means to me is God is telling me that he's in control.
Yeah.
And I've always held on to that. Always look back, no matter how tough and how hard things are, always look back to the fact that has God ever done anything good in my life? I've been with my grandparents whereby I was sleeping, there was like lantern, we call it lantern light. I think I was sleeping, kicked it. The fire was literally on me. The cloth that had to cover me was on fire. My grandma was screaming, she was crying. I didn't hear that. I didn't feel the fire that was on me, but I felt the water. When she poured the water on me to quench the fire, that's when I woke up. And I could still see a picture, and I took that cloth and myself to church the following Sunday to give testimony to God. So when things happen in my life, I basically look back and think back to what God has done, and if he's pulled me through that, he will do it again. And in terms of my husband, because I believe that's the most challenging and faith-shaking side of it for me. As a wife, I look at it, I'm not perfect. He wasn't perfect. However, I know that as a wife, I've done everything that I understand in my power that I could do. And I always look at it as, you know, I always cling to my husband because that's like my only family. My children and my husband were like my only family. So I cling to them a lot. But when I finally lost my husband, well, he's living rent-free, never now. So, you know, when I lost him, I had peace. And one thing I would say is we need to, sometimes we might not even hear God, but he's there in every single one of our story. I was reading the book of Jonah the other day, and I always look at the book of Jonah as, oh, God punished Jonah by allowing him to the fish to swallow him. But the Bible said when Jonah was thrown into the river or into the sea, God provided a big fish. God provided. If that fish was not there, Jonah would have drowned.
Yeah.
So God provided that to preserve his life. And what did Jonah did? He prayed to God. So when we're in a situation where we feel like we're drowning, when we feel like, oh, there's no, even when you feel like there's nobody around, because when I lost my husband, I felt like that to the point of that even the children felt it. My older child asked me, Mommy, who are our family? And I said to him, whoever you see around you are your family. It's not by color. It's not by whatever. So everybody is your auntie, but they're white. Yes, she's your white auntie. That's your Indian uncle. So, you know, we're all the same. And everyone that is there, we're all one body of Christ. But the word of God, there will be a time that when we're going through challenges, you are tired to have at that time. I'm having it now. Like sometimes I don't feel like reading my Bible. I don't feel like praying. Sometimes the devil says, you're tired, you don't need to pray. And I go on my knees. I say, God, the devil says that I'm tired, I don't need to pray. Our Father who art in heaven. So even if it's the Lord's Prayer, you can pray at the time. Pray. Even if it's, God, I'm tired, Holy Spirit, pray on me. Because the little prayer that you've been doing from years ago, they begin to work. None of the prayers are wasted. None of your reading are wasted. The time that you feel like you can't read, I can't read my Bible, play the audio thing. Let it minister to you. It's ministering. But I will shut up now. But yeah.
No, you don't need to shut up. But thank you very much. And I think that's one of the things that's inspired us about your journey. And we have watched how you have navigated this season, and I want to say that the way you have carried it, the way you have prayed, the way you've encouraged us, it's inspiration. That's the alarm going off, telling us we're done. I wonder if we could just pray for Lara
and her family.
Can I just
one thing quickly, please? Is that okay? One thing that I also forget to say is that in every situation, whatever that we go through, it's not only for us. Whether good or bad, if God has blessed you, it's for so that you can bless other people.
Yeah.
If you're going through challenges, if I'm going through challenges, it's so that I can encourage other people. When I go to my husband's grave, I use that opportunity when God wants me to encourage other people. I've had a time where a wife was not there and I helped look after her husband's grave. I've had a time where the Holy Spirit said, go and give that person a hug. And I'm like, no. But then I go back, give them a hug, and they're crying because you don't know what they've been saying. So whatever it is, and always remember, the earth is the Lord and everything in it. Mm. So the earth belongs to God. Everything, your husband, our children, everything that we have, it belongs to God. It doesn't belong to us. Mm. So we just need to have a place whereby I have just learned to say, God, everything belongs to you. Wherever I find myself, it's in your hand. And just knowing that He said He would never leave me or forsake me, and I just stand by that.
Mm. And we've seen that, we've seen that. Let's pray for you, Lara, and for the kids. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for Lara, and I want to thank you for the privilege that we have had as a church to have Lara and Yomi and the children to be part of us. And Father, I thank you that we have had the great privilege of walking part of their journey with them, and I thank you for the blessing that they have and are to us today. Father, we thank you for Yomi's life and all that he was to Lara and the children, but all that he was to us as well. And thank you that he is living with you rent-free, completely at peace. And I thank you that Lara has peace. I thank you that your word teaches us, yes, we do grieve, but we don't grieve like those who have no hope. And so, Father, I thank you for the peace that has rested upon her as she has navigated this new season, not only for herself, but also for the children. And we pray for them today. We lift them up to you today. And we just thank you that you are, it's not a nice twee thing to say, but you are the father to the fatherless, and you are the husband to the widow. You are our closest family. You own us. You are everything to us. And I pray, Lord God, as those three precious children continue to grow up, they would never, ever, ever have a moment where they don't see you or can't find you. But Father, that they would be so close to you, and that Father, their testimony would be that you have been as real to them as their earthly father. You have been as close to them, and Father, and that we would see that in their little lives. Lord, we thank you for them. We pray your blessing upon this family. We ask, Lord God, that you would continue to be their provider. Thank you that you have continued to bless them, and Lord God, you will do. And we just lift them and place them into your hands this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.